The first reading comes from our wisdom literature and the Hebrew scriptures, book of Sirach. It just speaks very bluntly, don't you think? It's very clear. Basically, he's saying, how in the heck can you ask for mercy when you yourself refuse to give it? It also speaks of situations of life in which people cling to their anger and their wrath because of things that have been done to them. Have you guys ever experienced that? I have. We feel justified. This happened to me. I am justified in my anger. There are a lot of people, situations at work and things like that. The anger that they possess about those situations at work is what gets them up every morning. It's the drive that's within them. They do the things that they need to do, but they do it drawing from this strength of rage. We can do this all the time, my brothers and sisters, where the true motivation for what we're doing is not good. Oh, but I'm doing good things. I'm going to work. I'm making money. I'm providing for my family. It's like, yes, but you're not free. You truly are not free because you're operating from anger. You're operating from hurt. You're operating in whatever way. And you say, well, it's not affecting anything. Oh, but it is. From my own experience of my life, you cannot operate in anger, even in doing the good, without that anger coming out against the people around you. The people that are not the cause for the anger, the people that are not the cause for the hurt. If you operate in it, you're operating it in every aspect of your life. You can't pick and choose. I'm only going to be motivated in anger for this. And ever the rest of my life, it's going to be, I'm going to be motivated by love. I'm going to be motivated by compassion and mercy. You cannot compartmentalize your heart in that way. It doesn't work. I try to think of analogies in that, you know, opening that up, breaking that open, what it seems to be saying in Sirach. And it's kind of like I think of a situation where you get a doctor, a person comes to the doctor and it's like, you know, so doc, can you help me? Can you help me? Like, okay, apparently you haven't quit smoking. I've been telling you to quit smoking. Sorry to pick on smokers, but we've gotten to the fact now where we know it causes problems for you. And you keep going to the doctor and saying, hey, can you fix this situation? Huh? What can you do, doc? And you're like, well, the first thing that you can do is stop smoking. And, you know, I guess, I don't know if doctors can do this or not, but you know what? I would get to a certain point as a doctor, and again, I don't know if you can do this. Sometimes I do this as a priest. You quit smoking, and I will help you. There are situations that people put themselves in where they have control over, where they have some sphere of influence, right? And if they're not willing to engage that, if they're not willing to take the responsibility to engage what they can engage, and yet they expect us to engage for them. No. It's not the way it is. My brothers and sisters, we are invited to be merciful. There's all sorts of reasons why. The purest reason why is because God is merciful and you're made in His image and likeness. It is who you are. It is part of your godly character that is a part of you. To be godly is to be merciful. That's a beautiful, pure reason for it. But there's other reasons, like the first reading said, hey, remember the grave is coming. You know, it's coming. Be merciful now while you still can, because the grave is coming for us all. Yeah, I gotta trim my beard and keep it from hitting the microphone now. It's interesting too, and I said the motivation of our heart and the energy that is there, it was reminding me of the movie The Count of Monte Cristo. I'm sure there's a book. I haven't read the book. I'm sure the book is excellent and much better than the movie, because the books usually are. But in the movie, The Count of Monte Cristo, at a certain point, if you're not familiar with it, everything in this man's life has been taken from him. He's been set up. And he's lost everything that he loved, everything. And so his whole thing is to plan his revenge and to get back at everyone who did him wrong. And at a certain point, there's someone in his life that's trying to reconcile with him and say, you know, these are the situations, these are the facts of what took place and this and that. And he looks at them and says, do not rob me from my hatred. It is all I have left. And there are times when we can feel that same way. We use and we tap in to those hurts. Because you know what? My brothers and sisters, you can even tap into your hatred for yourself. How do you know that, Father? I know it. Not because I hear confessions, but because I go to confession. You can even tap into hatred for yourself for the things that you've done, and you refuse to forgive yourself. Because you figure if I refuse to forgive myself, I won't do that again. I'm going to hold myself to that. I'm going to beat myself up because that's what I deserve. And that will motivate me to do the good. Do you hear the disconnect in that? I'm going to hold on to rage, even against myself, in order to do the good that I want to do. No. Didn't work for me. Won't work for you. So many things to talk about in these readings. Let's get to the gospel, right? We get to the gospel situation. We see clearly in this, okay? Peter, Andrew, they're human, right? Jesus takes the opportunity to teach. Talk about the kingdom of heaven. You're not talking about unredeemed humanity. He's talking about coming into the kingdom. This is how it is in the kingdom. We're not talking about where we hurt somebody. It's about when someone else hurts us. If you've hurt somebody, be humble, acknowledge it, admit it. Ask for forgiveness. And you cannot demand their forgiveness. You can only ask for it. And you have to give it to them to figure out the time and the place in which and if they offer you forgiveness. They have no control over that. For our part, we know what we need to do. Again, that's not part of the readings today. Part of the readings today is where we have hurt somebody. So that's what we're talking about. Where we've hurt somebody. No, I just said that wrong. Where someone else has hurt us. That's what we're talking about in the readings today. Right? Someone else has done something to us, and we need to forgive. Situation of this gospel, this parable, the situation. I've done the math, I've looked at the Greek, your daily wage, you work 8 hours a day for X number of dollars, multiply that times 365 times 100. 365, that means working every day, your daily wage, for the rest of the next 100 years as efficiently as you do today, right? You know, no slacking in your effort, no slacking in your time or any of that. And then you will have the amount of money that is owed. So when they translate it in English as a huge amount, it's an astronomical amount of money. It's funny, I was talking to the bank about getting a loan, repairs on my truck. They asked if I was going to put collateral. I'm like, nope, I don't want to. Imagine a loan that has collateral of your wife and your children. I mean, you have collateral in your house, collateral your car, possessions that you have, your wife and your children, and you are collateral for your loan. Could you imagine those days? We're talking about banking nowadays, but man, banking in Jesus' days was bad, right? You yourself were collateral. I don't know what's going on with this servant. I don't know if he's just incredibly hard-hearted or if he never really receives the forgiveness. My thought is he never receives the forgiveness, because immediately him going out and strangling his fellow servant and demanding money, it sounds like he's going out to try and get money that he loaned out so that he can pay back the master. But he doesn't need to pay back the master. He asked the master for patience so that he could pay it back. The master forgave him everything. So we get two different realities that come into this situation. Two different realities. One, asking for time in our own effort to pay it back, but that was not what was given. Pure mercy was given. Absolute forgiveness for the debt. He walks away. He was on the verge of losing everything. And everything is restored. Did he not see that? Did he not understand that? Was he still under the burden that I have to pay this back? Or was he just hard-hearted and oblivious to what just took place in his life? Either way, the conclusion of all of this is, your Heavenly Father has forgiven you, my brothers and sisters, and the order of forgiveness that God has given to you is this kingly to servant forgiveness, which is beyond our ability to repay. You can't. What the king wanted to see manifest in this forgiven servant was him manifesting mercy in his sphere and ability to do so with a fellow servant. He specifically says, your fellow servant. It puts him in the same boat. So what that means is your brothers and sisters, the people around you, your fellow human beings are in the same boat, living in a broken world, experiencing broken things. These are the ones that in your sphere of authority, you have the ability to forgive. So forgive. Forgive in the order of the forgiveness that is yours in this boat. Now, why am I dividing two spheres? Because the consequence is different. Right? When the one servant wouldn't forgive the other servant, he put him in prison until his family gathered the money together and gave it to him, and he got out of prison. Right? The means and the imprisonment and this and that. But when the king says, you wicked servant, he doesn't send him to prison. Where does he send him? He sends him to torturers. I would rather have prison than torture. And how in the world does torture somehow pay back a debt? He doesn't have the money. Can we quantify pain in dollar amounts? Well, lawyers do it all the time, trying to find justice for people because of pain and suffering, right? But see, what it means is this is wholly different. And I don't mean H-O-L-Y, I mean W-H-O-L. However you spell that, holy, right? Terrible speller. Two L's, Y, that's how you do it. It's wholly different, my brothers and sisters. And Jesus is reminding that the forgiveness of God to us is wholly different than the forgiveness that we offer to each other. You are capable of offering mercy and forgiveness to each other. In your sphere, in your authority, in you coming and participating in the kingly character that is yours by baptism, you can give that mercy. And the conclusion, my brothers and sisters, give that mercy. Don't give it out in thimbles, give it out in wheelbarrows. Because the same thing that you give out that mercy with is given back to you. Be generous in the mercy. You have that authority in your life to give it. Give it. And then let God receive your generosity and be generous with you. So, I could end the homily there, but I'm not going to do that. Because there's an element that is not in the readings today that is very important from my experience of life that you must do when you are forgiving someone. All right? You have to make your case to Jesus. And what I mean by that is if someone in the civil world does something to you, right, and they won't acknowledge it or they won't make recompense, you have to get a lawyer. That lawyer, you go in before a judge, and that judge will receive your case and will try to bring justice to you in accordance with the civil law and authority as they can. All right? It is very important, my brothers and sisters, when something has been done to you, that you first make your case to Jesus. All right? Why is this important? Because from my experience of living, my experience of life, if we don't first make our case to Jesus as the good and just judge, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the one that stands beside us, to make our case to Jesus, some things do not happen. All right? If you just say, okay, Jesus says forgive, I'm going to forgive. And forgiving, my brothers and sisters, is not an emotion. Not an emotion. It's a decision in your will to forgive. I've never heard of the emotion of forgiveness. It's a decision. But this is the thing. If I decide to forgive someone, my experience is that there's this small aching voice within me that says, yes, but what about the wound? What about what has been taken from me? Where will I find healing? I'm offering them mercy, but something has happened within me because of it. I said the bad example is that when those bad things that happen to us, we use that to justify our rage and we hold on to our rage. So many times, if we don't make our case and acknowledge the wounds that have come because of that, we will operate in rage and we won't even know why. I don't know. I've forgiven them. But I don't know why I'm so sarcastic every time I'm around them. Really? You don't? Because you were wounded by what they did to you. They, and my experience is this too, another human being like ourselves has a very limited capacity to meet us in justice, to actually speak what needs to be done within us or to bring healing to us. It's a very limited capacity. That is why it's so important. If something has been done to you, the first thing you need to do is entrust it to Jesus. Now, entrusting it to Jesus is not a backhanded way of not forgiving the person and saying, sick 'em, Jesus. You know, get 'em. Look, they did this thing to me. You get them, and I will say, I forgive you. That's not what this is about. It's about two realities that are going on, one of justice and one of mercy. Make the case to Jesus. Jesus, this situation has happened. And don't worry about the emotions and the feelings or how right or wrong what comes up in your heart is, because this is another beautiful part. As you express this to Jesus, he will purify it. Right? Because if I make my case 100%, 60% of it might be grounded in truth and reality, 40% might be based on some other hurt of mine. And Jesus will make that known to me. He will purify my case and say, no, we're throwing that out because that's your heart. All right? 60% of this is okay. You entrust it to Jesus and say, Jesus, you, good and just judge, bring mercy. Bring justice, bring healing. And the justice and the healing of Jesus is so much better because he knows your heart. He knows exactly how you've been hurt, exactly how you've been wounded. He knows the heart of the other person. He knows their intention or the lack of their intention. He knows everything about the case. And as I said before, it's not sick 'em, Jesus. It's Jesus. Hold them accountable. Call them to conversion so that they stop doing this in their life and continue to perpetuate this sin with myself or with others. Hold them accountable. Call them to grace and conversion and transformation. Please. Right? Once that call for justice, that cry for justice is set aside and entrusted to the one who loves you and loves the person who hurt you, then forgive, because we are asked to, and it is godly, it is right. Forgive. And that small voice within you, that scratching and clawing, that, yeah, but what about the hurt? What about what is owed to me? What about this and that? It's like, if that comes up, you say, all right, Jesus, I've given this case to you. I trust that you will bring this to me. It is so important that we do that, my brothers and sisters, because if we don't acknowledge the hurt and making the case, so many cases from my childhood are like, well, yeah, but they didn't really know what they were doing. And I dismiss the reality of the hurt. To dismiss the reality of the hurt is to acknowledge that the wound is there and to try and operate in truth and in freedom, even though that wound remains. Father Anthony, where did you get all this? Well, got it from my life experience, but I also got it from a book of a friend. Book of a friend who grew up, she was verbally, physically abused and sexually abused in her family. Jesus revealed himself to her as the good and just judge and invited her into this so that she could forgive. The forgiveness was so perfect within her heart that by the conclusion of her story, she was able to wash the feet of the person who abused her. Now, I just want you to think about someone that's done something wrong to you. Put yourself on the floor with a pan and water, and are you capable of washing their feet? No? Okay, make your case to Jesus. She literally washed his feet as a sign of the forgiveness that she offered him. That, my brothers and sisters, is freedom in Jesus Christ. That she would not operate seemingly the way the world would say, in a just way, to the afflict the injustice that has been done to her. The gospel message of Jesus Christ came into that situation, transformed it in a way that Jesus brought her healing. Jesus brought her true justice. And I've seen it in her life. I know her. She's a friend of mine. I've seen it sevenfold, the return of justice to her because she's entrusted it to Jesus. Sevenfold in her life, in a very beautiful and incredible way of redemption, of even redeeming this hurt. Gospel tells us to forgive. Amen. My brothers and sisters, a little work that we can do beforehand to make sure that that forgiveness sticks. And that is entrusting these hurts and these wounds to Jesus and asking him to be our advocate and judge. He loves you. He will bring about justice, and he will bring about the healing that actually allows you to have freedom, so that the woundedness of life and the hurts of life and all of these things, that you don't have to operate in that anymore. And there's a fear, this last point, I keep saying that, last point. Do not be afraid of how you will live if your rage or your anger or your hatred is removed from you. Sometimes we use that, again, to operate in life and to get by. What will I be if that is removed from me? Do not take my hatred from me. It's all I have left. Jesus won't take it from you. Give it to him. And he will give to you a proper disposition of heart. The reason I chose that opening song is a desire that if we enter into this mercy in this way, that we would truly be able to live in perfect charity, the perfect gift of ourself in freedom. Amen. Amen.